Hello and welcome to Business Beyond Usual. My name is Ifueko Ogbaide, and with me virtually is my co-host, Varun Joshi. Hey, Varun.
Hey, Ifueko.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? Excited for this episode.
Yes, I'm doing well, and I'm so excited to talk about this. So as part of the season for this podcast, we're recording special bonus episodes in addition to our normal cadence. In today's episodes, we'll dive into the international student experience with international students from Colombia, Russia, India, and Nigeria.
Thanks for that beautiful introduction, Ifueko. Before we get started, I want to encourage everyone, all of our listeners, to get in touch. We want to make this podcast a little more interactive with the audience this year, and we'd love to hear from you. Send us a message at bbupodcast@umich, that's umich.edu. Repeating, bbupodcast@umich.edu. Ask us questions, suggest episode topics, or just say hi. We'll spend some time at the beginning of each show reading some of your messages and answering any questions that you have. So let's jump right in. We have some awesome Rossers with us today to chat about their experiences as international students. I'll let them give a brief introduction about themselves, and please include where you're from and what year you are in so the audience get a flavor about your background.
Hi, everyone. I can start. My name is Natalia. I'm originally from Moscow, Russia, and in my career, I was working in financial services at the Central Bank of Russia and in consulting, and currently I'm an MBA too.
Hi, all. I am Pilar. I am from Bogota, Colombia. Prior to business school, I worked for General Motors for 9.5 years. And right now I'm an MBA one, and I'm trying to pursue a career in tech.
And I am Ifueko Ogbaide, and prior to Ross, I lived in Nigeria. I am from Nigeria, and I worked in EY for 5+ years.
Sure. So I think I can go last. I am Varun. I used to be in consulting before this, spent about 7 years there, and then decided to move to Ross because I, like Pilar, I'm also looking for a career in tech. And yeah, Ross is a great place for that. I think we can jump into some of the questions that we had for the panelists and for us as well, because we are both internationals, Varun and if, like me and Ifueko, we can definitely jump into these as well. So studying in the US is definitely a very big decision for any international student. What made you choose to apply to a program in the US?
Okay, I can go first. Yes, Varun, as you said, that's definitely a huge decision. I mean, I took about 3 years or so planning this. I decided to come out because I first wanted to do an MBA. I was planning to do it locally. But then I realized that in the US, there was a lot of great schools. And I start feeling like I really want to do my MBA at a great school. So I decided to do it in the US because I wanted to learn from a different culture. I wanted to learn from the best. And I think being interested in business and going to USA is like a big deal for any person that would like to learn about skills and leadership and all that stuff.
Thank you, Pilar. I can definitely relate to that because when I was thinking about choosing schools and whether to study locally or internationally, I really wanted to go to a new environment that was different from where I was from. And when I was looking at countries, I zeroed in on the US because it had a 2-year program. And I really felt that I could get the most out of my experience. So that was how I thought about it. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Natalia.
Sure. So for me, it was actually a pretty easy decision. My husband at this time was already in US working. But also, you know, I agree with Pilar and Ifueko that US actually provides you amazing opportunities. And in countries like Russia, for example, some industries might not even exist, like investment banking, or might be like very tiny. So, you know, studying and then potentially after that working in the United States really opens you enormous opportunities professionally.
Yeah, that is so true. Because thinking about back home, I mean, we have some service industries, but when you think about tech, it's still a nascent industry. So there are so many more opportunities here. But I'd love to hear yours, Varun.
Sure. So I think my experience is a little bit different because I was working out of the US for about 3 years before I started at Ross. I was still on a visa, but at that point of time, I really got to see a few of these colleges, like be in a few classes, and I really enjoyed that atmosphere. I really enjoyed the participative atmosphere. And Ross stood out in that way as well. Like the students were very collaborative and participative and helping. So definitely, like, that was a big pull for me, just seeing these environments. I'd never experienced something like this before, just seeing these environments, like just taking a class and figuring out, yes, this is where I would want to be, this is where I would. And then finally, it's about tech. Tech is definitely growing a lot in the US, more than any other place in the world. And this is where you would want to be if you want to pursue that career.
So Varun has taken us into the next question, which is the million-dollar question, and that is, why Ross? So I'd love to hear your why Ross pillar.
Sure. Yes, that's definitely a $1 million question. As Varun, I did a lot of research before. I visit every school I applied for. I visited because I want to make sure I had a strong connection with it. I mean, this is not a small investment. So I wanted to make sure that I was going to be in a place that I was going to be comfortable enough. So when I visited Ross, I had an amazing feeling. I mean, I cannot even describe it because the day I was there first, I got lost. I was looking for Ross building. I got Ross. I entered to any other building asking for help. And I got this woman that I was in a reception. She walked me up to the Ross building and she was so nice that made me feel at home. I felt so welcome. And that feeling was the biggest reason to choose Ross. After that, there came on many other reasons. Like Varun was saying, Ross is a great place for tech. If you see that, it has the highest rates of tech hiring. And also the curriculum and the focus in learn by doing is something that I really that really catches my attention. And that's why I decided to come here.
That is such an amazing answer. And I'm so glad you had the opportunity to visit schools here. So like I said, I'm from Nigeria and I didn't have that opportunity. So I had to do a lot of ground research, reach out to alums and really get to understand your experiences. But for me, choosing Ross, you know, had to do with the depth of resources. I mean, we have the Sanger Leadership Center. That center has been amazing for me in terms of being able to define my values and being able to learn more about leadership. And also the access to so many other schools here at Michigan, which for me was a huge deal because it meant that I could take a diverse mix of classes. And then I always say this everywhere, but I feel like Ross has this focus on building impact-driven leaders. And you know, when I see my future and the type of person or the type of career I want to be in that impact space. But right now I'm really learning how to define that impact. But I honestly, I've taken on so many impact-driven projects that I'm like, oh my God, I'm living my dream. And then, you know, just like everyone has said, when I was reaching out to people, people were so nice and so welcoming. And I felt like, you know, I could call this place home for the next 2 years. So that's my experience. And I would love to hear yours, Natalia.
Sure. So I actually agree with everything you guys said. And for me, I think the three main things, first of all, is the amazing close-knit community where you can feel like home here at Ross. And the second one, obviously, the strong focus on technology industry, because I was recruiting, was very interested in working for full time in technology industry. And I think the last one is actually Ann Arbor as a city itself. It's just amazing. I'm a very outdoorsy person. So there are a lot of opportunities for you to go cycling or to go like skiing or things like that. And there are a lot of, you know, beautiful like forests and parks and arboretum, for example. If you guys are coming on campus, just check it out. It's just amazing. So, yeah.
I echo that 110%. So that takes me to my next question. So coming to the US, what was something you found surprising? And I'd love to hear yours, Varun.
Sure. So coming to the US, so my coming to the US was about 3 years back, but I'll say coming to Ross, what did I find surprising? The one thing that I did not expect to find was like even in the middle of the pandemic, Ann Arbor was a beautiful, like is a beautiful city. Like there's a lot to do here. You can actually go on hikes. You can go to the lake. Like there are a lot of running spots here. People are very active. So if you like a small, tight knit city that has, you know, that has a lot to do, that's all like drivable distance away. Like, so I think that is a very good feeling. And I'm not surprised that Ann Arbor is kind of ranked second best city in the US. Even though it's a small city, I just feel at home. So that was a very big surprise for me.
Thanks, Varun. And I know, Pilar, you moved here when COVID was full blown. So I'd love to hear what you found surprising.
Yeah, that's a great question because I got surprised because I get to know a new different phase of the US that I didn't know. I have come several times before for holidays and sometimes for work, but all I knew about US was all I saw in movies or series or what you get the feeling in immigration where you are entering to the country that people might be aggressive to you. So you feel very intimidated. And I had all that perspective for US. So I was really scary of not fitting into the culture. But being in Ann Arbor as a student was shocking. I mean, it was completely different. I got to know very different people from I knew before. They were so nice, so collaborative. I mean, I'm living with 3 American girls right now, and they are so supportive with me. They were waiting for me. They were taking care of me all the first weeks. So I'm so happy I got to know that from America. And it's maybe the most surprising thing was that people that was so collaborative to me moving in.
That makes me feel so warm inside. I'm happy you had that experience. So I'd love to hear yours, Natalia.
Sure. So for me, something that was surprising is actually coming from the, you know, like career interactions with people. So I found very surprising how important networking piece is in the United States and how important it is to be like very like sociable. So in my home country in Russia, to get a job, like it's important to be smart, but here you should not only be smart, you should be able to be like very sociable, be able to build long-term relationships with people. So this was something that was actually very surprising for me and was kind of like a shift in my like cultural understandings as well.
So in addition to what everyone has said, my experience is slightly random. You see, this was my first time in the US. So I went grocery shopping and I really wanted to get eggs. So I got to the egg section and then for the first time in my life, I had to choose between grade A eggs, you know, free range eggs, you know, pasture raised eggs. And I was like, oh my God, so many options. You know, what am I gonna do? All I just want are eggs because where I'm coming from, I mean, either have white eggs or brown eggs and you have big eggs or small eggs. So for the first time I was faced with so many options. So that was really hilarious. So that is what I found surprising. So thanks everyone. Now let's dig into our experiences.
Yeah, if you go, I totally hear you on the eggs part. I get confused in the ice cream aisle because of all of the choices of ice creams that there. Okay. So we wanted to dig into your experiences a little more, like just dig into your Ross experience maybe first. So what school resources have been beneficial to you all in navigating recruiting studies?
Okay, I can go first. I mean, something that I have used a lot are peer coaches. So these students that are MBA tools that have already gone through that experience of looking for an internship is so valuable. And there is a ton of MBA 2 students available to help MBA ones. And I've been using this tool since the very beginning because you can schedule an appointment with them and ask them first to help you to decide what you wanna do with your life. So hearing from their experience, it guides you a lot of where to go and what place might fit for you better. Then they will help you with the resume, with your cover letter that related to what Natalia said, that's a big deal here. I mean, that's completely different from anything I've seen before at home. And you need to really learn how to do it because that's like the key for entering to the recruiting world. And all these MBA students were so open to help. And right now I'm using them a lot doing mock interviews. So right now I believe in a couple of weeks, we will start having interviews for the internships. And I have done like, I don't know, like 20-ish or more mock interviews with MBA tools. So I've been using the peer coaches a lot. I talk to each of them like twice or three times a week, and they are so helpful to me.
Yeah, I can go next. For me, I also agree with Pilar. Peer coaches is an amazing resource. I was also using a lot of career development office appointments, specifically, you know, recruiting for a tech industry. Dmitry is our tech coach and he's amazing. I was setting up, you know, to do mock interviews with him almost like every week or so. So this was the resource which was very, very helpful to me. And in terms for the classes, I didn't say that I used much, but sometimes, you know, I would reach out to the classmates and ask them for help in helping me understand some concept or something. But also for some classes, and this again shows how amazing and collaborative our community is, people would just do teaching assistant sessions. So anyone in your class who understands the concept better would just voluntarily organize like a session where everyone would join and they would explain the concept. They would go over some of the exercises within the class. So this again showed me, you know, how amazing and supportive our ROS community is.
So like Pilar and Natalia have really covered everything. But then the only couple of things that I will add are, I think the first is the FAT group. So the FAT group is where you're placed in a group with, so I'm an MBA 2, but then I was an MBA 1. And we had this MBA 2 lead our FAT group. So FAT group is where you're placed in a group with an MBA 2 leader who has successfully recruited for a career field or a career track that you're currently recruiting for. So the person guides you through the process in terms of what you should be thinking about, what you should be doing, and you know how you should be putting your best foot forward. So that was so helpful for me. And even beyond that, I think my peers have been a really good resource for me in terms of getting people to give me mock interviews, you know, with really short notice, having people like put me through stuff that I was unclear about in class. And the professors too have been really extremely helpful. So in addition to everything every other person has said, you know, those are the resources that have been most useful to me. What about you, Varun?
I think all three of you ladies have covered it really well. The only thing that I think I can add is just the networking piece of it. Like LinkedIn has been a tool that I've utilized more here in these 3 months than I did in my entire life. But more than that, the people at ROS who are on the other side who are getting my messages, they have been very receptive. So they have been very receptive to listening to me, like, you know, trying to learn more about their careers. So that has been a very good experience for me, like in addition to all of the things that all three of you have been saying. So maybe jumping into the class experience a little more, I know all three of you touched on it briefly, but how is it different from learning from back home? And maybe Pilar, you can add a little bit of flavor around how is it like going virtual? You know, is it like, how's the class experience there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I took the first quarter of the semester from Colombia. Then I traveled to Ann Arbor. So the second quarter, I took it from Ann Arbor, and it was mostly virtual. We had some hybrid classes, but yeah, it's been a complete new experience. First of all, comparing to my learning experience at home prior roles, it's completely different. I mean, first of all, the quality is amazing. I study a great university here in Colombia, but that's not even close what Ross quality has. So the classes, the professors this semester were so great. I mean, the way they teach and every learning, it's so designed to be applied in real life that I'm shocked they did it that way. Even in the stats class, every standard deviation lesson was applied to the real life. So that's great because that encourages you to use that learning in real life. But now being at Columbia and then being at Ann Arbor changed a lot of also the experience because interacting with people. Here, I didn't used to work that closer to my classmates in a group. So people in the US and especially in Rose, they are so dedicated to do every group homework or every group assignment we have. Like they put all of themselves into the activity. So that's so great to see and witness that kind of commitment from them.
I can go next. So my experience was different. So my undergrad was in Nigeria, and we had great professors, but then they would speak at you and not really expect a dialogue. So I was used to that mode of teaching. But then coming here and having a professor, you know, expect me to full on engage, you know, back and forth. I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is initially, I was like, okay, I have to do this. But then, you know, it became really interesting. And from having those conversations, it really made me think differently. And, you know, even having to listen to my peers, you know, have those exchanges with the professors, you know, at the end of the day, I left class, but with the content that I was taught, but then also from listening to my peers, like say really amazing things. So that was how my experience was different. So I'm curious to hear yours, Natalia.
Yeah, and Ifuoka, I can echo this 100%. So if you think about Russia, like in Russia, it's like a lecture style and you're not expected to have your own opinion or ask questions or like challenge the status quo. But here, everyone wants to know your opinion. And it's a completely different story here. You're actually learning from experiences of your classmates. And this is actually the large part of your learning process. So this was something that was really, really surprising to me about the classroom experience.
Oh, I love all of that. Like I relate to all of that. Plus there's just one more thing. Maybe it's because I'm from an engineering background. A lot of things were just taught to us. They were just thrown at us. We didn't have to do any pre-work before the classes. And now, like the first 2 weeks when I was here, every class had pre-work, every class had pre-reads. And I was just like, this is a lot to do before a class. But it's actually very, very useful in building your opinion about the class and building, like getting everyone on the same page. And all of these cases are very interesting as well. Like some of them are from Harvard, some of them are like from other business schools, they're from HBR. So it's definitely a very good learning experience. That was, I'm gonna pass it to Ifueko for more questions around your experience in Ann Arbor.
So I'm sure thousands of international students who are thinking about school are always curious about housing. You know, how did you decide on housing and where to live? So I'd love to hear how you made that decision, Natalia.
Sure. So I was actually a late admit to Ross, so I didn't have many options to choose from, but my criteria were the following, basically three of them. First of all, I wanted the housing to be close to the school, no more than, let's say, 15 minutes walking. Second, I wanted to have a convenient place to live with some amenities, you know, like a gym or like also like new kitchen appliances so that you will not spend much time cooking, spend more time on recruiting. and other things. And the third one is actually the community, where you can go out of your apartment and meet your classmates, and you always know if there is a party or something, who has a birthday or things like that. So I actually found all this, you know, living at the yard, and was pretty like glad with my option.
I definitely echo that, because that was the exact same framework that I worked with when I was choosing where to live. But then one of the really cool things about schooling in a small town or a college town is everything is within walking distance. So I can literally just get up and walk to my over to my friend's apartment and, you know, and just get together and have fun. But I'd love to hear yours, Pilar.
Sure. I have pretty similar criteria than Natalia just said, but I will add, I was super interested in getting into the American culture. Like, I really wanted to live with American people, to break that barrier I had before with them. Like, I felt I really didn't know Americans, and I wanted to get to know them. When I was very young, I went to London to study English for 6 months, and I ended up hanging out with Latinos, and I never get to new people locally. So at this time I said, like, this could not happen again. I really wanna get to know people that have the culture, and I did it. So in my criteria, I wanted to have American roommates. And I as I mentioned, I'm living with three American girls, and that's so amazing, because I entered to like the closer trust circle. And right now I'm very close to them. I really understand how their minds work, and I've learned a lot of American culture because of them. So that was part of my criteria as well.
Awesome. I'm happy you're getting that experience. What about you, Vern?
So I chose a little bit of a different path, and I live in Woodbury. That's the other apartment complex that a lot of our listeners will hear about. And I just went for that because as Pilar was saying, I've been in that phase where I've really wanted to live with Americans. I used to live in New York with a lot of roommates, but then I started collecting stuff over the last 3 years, and I finally realized that I can't be in a roommate like situation. So I decided that I needed a space of my own, maybe a one bedroom. Woodbury has a lot of great one bedrooms in here. So I decided to come here for that reason. But again, it's a little further from campus. There are some awesome running spots around. There are, the restaurants are everywhere in Ann Arbor, like that I figured out. So like you're not gonna be missing out much. A few of the burn days maybe, but yes, you will have that one bedroom comfort.
So I'm curious, how do you guess a class, or have all your classes been virtual?
Most of my classes have been virtual, but otherwise you can also get to class through the shuttle that runs from here. There's a shuttle and a bus that runs as well. Even with the pandemic, they've been very on schedule, which has been great. So, yeah.
Okay. Side note, all UM students get a free bus ride. Whoop, whoop.
That too, yes, exactly. I've used a lot of that.
Okay. So my next question would be, so far, how are you liking living in Ann Arbor, specifically, you know, comparing your pre-pandemic experiences to the in-pandemic experience? So I'd like to start with Natalia, because I know she came here, or rather we came here, you know, when there was no pandemic, and now we're living in a pandemic. So I'd really love to get your thoughts on that experience.
Sure, absolutely. And I love Ann Arbor. It's beautiful. And as I mentioned, I'm a very outdoorsy person. So I value the outdoor activities that Ann Arbor can offer to you. So I did a couple cycling rides to the Dexter Mill, where you can eat donuts and drink cider. And also like skiing to the Boyne. This is like a famous skiing party, which happened pre-pandemic every year. So it's a lot of beautiful nature here, but also I think Ann Arbor is really amazing because of its restaurants, and you can actually find anything here from like, I don't know, sushi to like more like European food and things like that. So there are a lot of bars, a lot of clubs and everything. So I would say it's a very young and a very vibrant city, and I'm actually loving this. And post-pandemic, I think I mean, it changed in a way of the restaurants and clubs and other activities, but you can still have this outdoors experiences if you're into it. So I think for me, it's been amazing.
Definitely, that definitely resonates with me. So coming in as an international student, I really wanted, you know, a small community that would be easy for me to navigate and really get to understand this environment that I was coming into. And Ann Arbor was the best fit for me. It has such an active food scene, and I am a foodie at heart. I love food. And I really love the club scene. I had some of my favorite, you know, experiences there, but we can talk about that offline. And, you know, comparing that with the pandemic situation, I think this is the first time that I really got to see like how many parks we have in Ann Arbor, you know, really getting to go to those parks and go on walks. For me, that was so interesting. It kind of gave me a different perspective on Ann Arbor. So I'm curious to hear yours, Pilar, because you came in a pandemic. So I'm curious to hear your experience about Ann Arbor coming in as an international student during the pandemic.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I was even worried that I would regret going to the States during pandemic. So I thought I would be better stay at home and save some money. But I definitely don't regret it. It was great deciding to travel to Ann Arbor during pandemic, because as you both mentioned, I also love outdoor activities. And the first thing I did when I came here was buying a bike. So I bought a bike in Craigslist, and I've been riding like everywhere around. Like, I love getting lost within Ann Arbor because it's so beautiful. The other day I went to North Campus, and it's so amazing. I saw a deer like in the middle of nature, and it's so beautiful. Everything you see around is very beautiful. I've also done the Dexter Mill ride, as Natalia mentioned, and that's also very beautiful. You ride along a river for a long time, and that's pretty beautiful. So I've had a lot of outdoor activities that I think that have trade off the social thing, but Ann Arbor has been great in that sense because it has a lot to offer.
That definitely resonates with me. What about you, Vern?
So I'm big into running. So yeah, this place does not disappoint that way. Like from where I live, I can just go to the Michigan Stadium all the time. Looks great. Arboretum is pretty good. Eberwhite Woods is pretty good. So yeah, that piece. And then there has been a lot of small group gatherings. So a lot of potlucks of small groups, a lot of movie nights. And that has been, that has been my highlight of the pandemic experience. So it's a lot of small groups trying to get together to like get to know each other. And especially I've made some section and outside section friends. Like for our listeners, we have sections here. There's no division, there's healthy competition, but there's no division. So we just organize potlucks around here, and that's pretty good. The food scene has been very active as well. And even though it's been the pandemic, a lot of the restaurants around here have set up places to sit outside or like good delivery systems. So it's almost all open. So you just carry all of it out. So I've been trying a lot, like frita batidos, isalita, savas, Washtenaw Dairy. Yeah, this is just a few names that are coming off the tongue, but I'm sure all of you have great stories around food too.
So Varun is taking us into the next section, which has to do with our food experience. And I can go first. So like I mentioned before, I'm a foodie, I love food. But then the more spicy the food is, the better it is. But however, if you're someone that likes spicy food, you might need to email me and I can give you some of the hacks, because you don't really get spicy options here. But then beyond that, we have like a lot of options. Yes, there's Korean food, Chinese food, Italian food, Jamaican food. And if you want Nigerian food, there is a spot closer to Detroit. And for me specifically, you know, I came here because I wanted a different experience, specifically also in terms of food. So I'm trying out new dishes. But whenever I want like a slice of home, there is this African store in Ann Arbor where I go to get like some groceries and just, you know, make myself feel like I'm back home in Nigeria. But then, yeah, that is my food experience. What about yours, Pilar?
Yeah, I'm not that into food like as you sound, but I also love eating good food. But one thing that I thought when coming to Ann Arbor was a budget thing. I mean, I came from a place where the dollar is very revaluated. So for me, everything was very expensive. So I want to make sure I took care of my budget. And in Ann Arbor, I also found a lot of offers, like cheap offers and great food. So for example, there is an Arabian restaurant. I can't recall its name, but it's like a very cheap dish and it's amazing. It's so big and it's so tasty that I love it. That it's also a Korean restaurant. So please keep in touch with me if you want some of these tips that of cheap food, because those are being great. And also what I've been doing is going to the grocery to try to eat home. I also love having a homemade food. So I cook a lot at home and my roommates also do the same. So we cook a lot at home and that's also a great experience.
You have to have me over for food. Like, so
sure, definitely.
When I was in Colombia, you know, I got to try patacones, and then I have this friend, her name is Carolina. She's from Colombia too. And I had her make patacones and show me how to make patacones. But honestly, like invite me over. I'm down for food.
What about? Oh, well, definitely.
Thank you. What about you, Natalia?
Yeah, so for me, actually, the food experience was pretty similar, you know, to what I would eat back at home. However, some things of the American cuisine were really surprising, like chicken wings and waffle with maple syrup. It's actually turned out to be pretty good. But like everyone mentioned, there are a lot of opportunities here. I love American traditional cuisine and a huge fan of diners. So if you guys also would like to experience the true like American traditional culture, I would recommend Angela's. This is a diner close to campus and it's just amazing. So I really love it.
Adding on to that, I recommend Cafe Zula. I've had the best brunches at Cafe Zula. You see, Natalia is giving me a thumbs up. We're on to something, guys. So over to you, Varun.
Sure. So I'm going to throw a tough one at you guys. So coming from a different socio-cultural context, tell us how you navigated that experience and bonded with this Ross community.
Okay, I can go first. So for me, it was slightly challenging, you know, because I was coming from a different environment where, you know, everyone is so, you know, in your face in a really good way, you know, but here, you know, everyone, you know, is slightly, you know, less in your face. But in terms of navigating that experience, you know, I was open to meeting new people because it was the experience that I wanted for myself. And I really wanted to build close relationships. So I would, you know, grab coffee with people, go on dinners with people, go out to drinks with people. And I was really patient, you know, in getting to know the other person's story and, you know, seeing, you know, how my story, you know, and that person's story, you know, were like really interesting things and, you know, gave us like avenues to bond. So that was my experience.
Yeah, I agree with Ifueko 100%. And I think it's also important, you know, given like how important socializing is in US culture, this was something that was a little bit different to my experience before like coming from Russia. But I agree that I think the rules are, you know, all the same. Be genuine and be yourself. And I think everyone who came here to US has really an amazing story to share. It's just exciting to get to know new people, you know, how they succeeded, how they came to this point. And
Yeah, something that I will add is like, I try to be very intentional in the relationships. I had to many times get out of my comfort zone to, as if I could say, like reach out people, ask them to go for a coffee or for dinner, to start building relationships. So that might be very awkward at the beginning, but you will never regret it at the end. So you need to be very intentional for doing that. And also that will help you a lot to get to know the culture better. And even if we are very similar, there are some slightly differences between the culture that it's important to understand in the way of knowing people. So for example, the Americans are so nice and polite. So the boundaries are very clear in the relations, and you need to respect that. I come from a culture where you are very close to everyone, and maybe that could be offensive here. So for example, if I hug someone, that will be too much. So I need to be aware of that to making sure I fit in the culture, but just being intentional and paying attention will work perfectly.
Looks like I would enjoy Colombia. India is very similar in that sense. Yes, we are like almost in each other's faces all the time in India. And here it was very different. But more than that, what I also realized that a lot of people are open to listening the inclusion conversation. They are very open to having international people, in this environment. They're very open to learning from their experiences in classes, outside classes. And that helps us, or like that helped me at least, be a little more vulnerable in conversation and make friends much faster than I would in any other place. And I think that really helped me connect with the people around here, like both MBA ones and MBA twos. They all realize that, my experience is valuable. It's, it's going to add something. So let's communicate, let's collaborate, let's, build a better Ross community. I'm going to throw this out to Waco to close out our episode. We have a great question that will give all the internationals who are trying to get into Ross some great insight about how to get into Ross.
Yes. So for all international students, I'm sure you're curious to know what advice we have or what tips we have for you, as you think about moving to a different country, throwing yourself into an entirely new experience. So I would like to start off with Pilar.
Sure, if I go, I think I will give two pieces of advice. First of all, is define your goals. Like what do you want to get out of this experience? And I would think that beyond the educational space and the professional one, as a person, what do you want to get out of this experience? And as I have mentioned before, I really want to get into the culture. That was one goal I had. And I've been planning around that. So I will advise that everyone define those goals and plan activities around that to don't feel disappointed at the end of this experience. Time flies. And if you don't plan those activities, you might get at the end of the MBA and maybe you didn't achieve those. So it's very important to know what you want to get out of this. And the second will be ask for help. I mean, as an international student, you will get a lot of questions of every single step, from what to pack in your luggage to go into the US, how to get the visa, there is a list of a million questions you might get. And here is a huge community, welcome to help. So please reach out to any of us. And I'm pretty sure all the questions will be answered very quickly from any classmate or any member of the community.
Yeah, so Pilar's tips are really spot on. The only thing that I would add is speak to as many students as possible, get to know their experiences in terms of the challenges they faced, what they would have done differently. It helps you really prepare to hit the ground running when you get here. What about you, Natalia?
Yeah, I love it, guys. I love your advice. It's amazing. And I just wanted to hit on the same thing. I think it's really important not to underestimate the power of networking and relationships, especially in the United States. And I know many people who were able to get their dream job or like interviews or anything through networking. So this is something that's very important. And always remember that you're incredible, and coming here, getting one of the top schools, having these ambitions, I think that you all should be really proud of yourself and believe that you all can make your dreams come true.
I love that. You are incredible. I love that. What about you, Varun?
I don't think I can add anything over on top of this, but I would just say maybe a small tip, don't underestimate the power of WhatsApp. Like WhatsApp groups, especially India-based WhatsApp groups, really helped me out in transitioning to the US, like Indian students at Ross. And then I like was connecting with a lot of people, even though I was not in the country at that time, I was still connecting with a lot of people around here. And a lot of US students also use WhatsApp, so you can connect with them too. Like my mentor who was assigned to me, she started using WhatsApp to communicate with me. Because I was, I was in that situation. And definitely these people will connect you, even if they don't have the same goals as you, they will connect you to people who are relevant. They've been through this situation before. They know what to do. They know how to navigate this kind of a situation. So just ask them for help. Just take that first step to be, you know, can you help me with this? And you won't even have to say that again twice. I think we've had a very good conversation. Thank you so much, both Natalia and Pilar, for taking the time today, for sharing these experiences with us. I'm sure the next batch of Rossers, the next batch of international students who come in will be listening to this episode and learning a lot about what to do next when they come to Ross. So yes, thanks a lot for sharing.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you for the invitation. It was great.
Business Beyond Usual is brought to you by the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. Executive producers are Jeff Church, Bob Needham, and Katie Coleman. Thank you, Natalia and Pilar, for chatting with us today, and we are excited to meet the next group of international Rossers that come to campus. I'm Varun Joshi, and with me is my co-host, Ifueko Ogbide. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, go blue, and this is Business Beyond Usual.